so honored to be a part of a church like this. It just amazes me. You guys amaze me because I know that oftentimes the building gets the credit. You talk about the church, they think you're talking about the address and the structure. And oftentimes when you talk about the church, people think you're talking about the leadership. But I think the church represents every single one of us. I really do. It doesn't represent buildings or you know, walls or concrete. That's just the structure. The church is identified in you. And I'm just so honored to be a part of what God's doing with you. Honestly, you guys blow my mind the way you give and you contribute and all that you do. So thank you. Thank you for being a part. Just want you to know how St. Augustine, amen. I know that probably sounds weird to some of you, like, where is that coming from? Just want you to know how thankful I am to be a part of your family and to do this with you. I feel like I just stand on the front lines with some of the greatest people on earth, and it really truly is the joy of my life. It really is. So thank you for all that you give and contribute to God's kingdom. Amen. Amen. We're going to start with prayer, and then we'll dive right into God's word for today and what he's given us. So let's go to the Lord first. Father, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you that you're always in control of our lives. Lord, we thank you that you love so much. It's so deep. It's overwhelming. We can't understand it. We thank you, Father, that it was so genuine and so real that you gave us Jesus, Lord, to make a change for us. We have the opportunity to know life and life eternal because of your son, Jesus. And we just pray, Father, today that as we dig into the truth of your word, that every one of us in this room, Lord God, would be nearer to your heart as a result of what you have shown us through your Holy Spirit. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're in a sermon series. If you're our guest, I'll just kind of catch you up to where we are. We're in a series called You Asked For It. And every Easter, what we do is we put out a survey. We've done this the last 3 years, and it really has been, honestly, has become one of my personal favorite series that we do is the series You Asked For It. And what we do in that survey is we just ask questions. And one of the questions that we ask is this. We say, tell us something you would like to hear God's word taught about. And then we take run those through a little poll, and then we just respond to the most requested topics from our church family. In fact, Jesus would do this all the time. If you read through the Gospels, you'll recognize that he would often respond to questions that people might ask him. Well, what about this? Or what about that? He might hear a comment made and then just begin to speak directly into the situation that the people were in, his disciples or whoever it was. So we find it very relevant is the word I'm searching for, because Jesus had this incredible way of just meeting people right where they were. And I just think that's a beautiful thing. In fact, I don't think he ever got out of that business. I think that his agenda today is still to just meet people exactly where they are. Too oftentimes, can I preach a minute before we start? Too oftentimes, I think that people get this idea that, well, once I get it together, once I have it all figured out, once I can answer all the things I'm not sure about, then I think I can maybe go into this thing. But until you prove it, or until I'm better, until I'm cleaner, until I got some things sorted out, sometimes we go into it with that approach. And I just want to kind of remind you right out of the gate that that's not the way Jesus operates. Jesus just likes to show up to the mess you're in, to the questions that you have. He likes to show right up to the place where you would disqualify yourself is actually the place where he would stand in and say, no, in fact, you are exactly qualified, because the Bible tells us that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. It was there that he met us. So I don't know whoever that's for, but I just wanted to speak that into your life, that Jesus likes to meet people where they are. And this series is our attempt to help to do that. We want to meet you where you are, so we're responding to the questions that you ask. Generally, what we do is we just take the number one most requested, and that's week one, and number two most requested, and that's week two. But I actually did a reversal on you guys this week, and I hope that you're okay with that, because what we're going to talk about today was the fourth most requested topic. I'm going to preach the third most requested topic next week, and the reason is I think today sets us up for next week. I just felt like it was more appropriate for us to respond here. And the question that you asked is, what about spiritual warfare? Like, tell me a little bit about this spiritual warfare that we're in. And then the question that was third most requested that I'm actually going to hit next week is you said, hey, teach me about the Holy Spirit. And I just thought, wow, man. So first thing I want to do is just applaud you guys, because that's just telling me that you guys are ready to go deeper. These are, to me, we're swimming around in the deep end of the pool this morning. We're going to be in some subjects that might make people a little uncomfortable, might make people nervous. But I just want you to know it's all in God's word, and we should never reject anything that God has for us. Amen. So we're going to talk about it very plainly. We're going to open up the scriptures, look at what it says. And what I wanted to do today is just talk about warfare and the fact that we are in spiritual conflict. I want to talk about that reality, lay some things out. And then next week, the reason I wanted to reverse them is because the Holy Spirit provides for us these gifts, the Bible says, that we have from the Holy Spirit and his place in our lives. And I want to talk about that with you next week because it is those things that make us successful in this conflict that we're in. Because I don't know if you knew this or not, but we are very, very limited. Amen. I thought somebody would back me up on that. I'll just amen myself. But we are extraordinarily limited. There's only so much I can do. There's only so much I can do. As I've gotten older, I'm the ripe old age of 34 years old. And as I get older and older, I tend to learn more and more about myself. And what I tend to learn most are my limitations. Actually, what I discover the most about me is what I cannot do. And then that tells me what I need outside of myself, which is why I'll just be like very, very honest. And eventually we'll get to the sermon today. I don't know how people can make it in this life without knowing that God is their rock. I personally could not fathom this life without knowing that I could run to the safety and to the shelter of him. I just don't know how people don't lose their marbles knowing they have that security and that sense of connection to the Father. Amen. So that's why we're going to reverse. If that makes sense, if that upsets you, I apologize. It's too late now because everything's prepared. Okay, so let's go right into God's Word. I want to take you to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And if you're like an extra note taker, I'm probably going to throw some extra stuff out there that you might want to pin into the margin of your notes. But right out of the gate, before we even start, I'm going to give you some homework. If this is a topic of discussion that really was interesting to you, if this was something that you maybe you were the one that asked for it, or it piques your interest enough to learn more, I just want to encourage you to dig into the book of Ephesians, specifically the sixth chapter, because it talks a lot about warfare and the equipment that we need to be successful. And while we won't cover the entire chapter today, we will definitely be in that chapter. But if you just wanted to write that in the margin, and then this week, just homework. Man, I know sometimes, how many of you guys, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you guys sometimes you think like, I don't even know where to read in God's Word. I don't even know what to open up to and look into. I'm just giving you a little tip. Just go to Ephesians 6 this week. If it's the only thing you read all week long, it will serve you well. Amen? So let's go there, and let's go to verse 10 is where we're going to start. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, he's writing, this is a letter. The book of Ephesians is a recorded letter to the church of Ephesus. So he's saying to them, finally, he's made all these statements. He said all this stuff, chapters 1 through 5, and he gets into chapter 6, and he says, so finally, after everything that I've said, I want you to be strong. Be strong. I love those terms that he's just speaking, saying, I want you to be strong in the Lord. And then notice, be strong where? In his mighty power. I think it's important. You notice I highlight things for you. If you're a super note taker, you might want to underline those things too to find the emphasis that I'm focusing on. But I want you to notice some things. Verse 11, he says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realm. So he's identifying there's a spiritual thing going on. He's speaking to that. And we're going to talk about that heavenly realm a little bit. So verse 13, he says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that, notice this, I want to emphasize, when the day of evil comes. He doesn't say if it comes, or, you know, by chance you trip into a bad day, or something might go wrong in your future. He identifies very clearly like when it happens. And I just kind of want to identify right out of the gate that all of us are going to experience conflict, spiritual warfare, a bad day, a difficult season, a hard road at some point in our life, and probably another one at a later point and another one at a later point. What I've discovered is that life in this spiritual run tends to run in seasons. And I'm going to tell you right now, earlier in the year, in 2017, I felt like all we were doing was winning. All we were doing at Church Online was just winning. I was like, man, everything's good. I'm happy all the time. This feels good. I just had this sense like we're winning all the time. And I remember thinking in my mind, I remember saying to myself, enjoy it. Because the season always changes. The season always changes. And then sure enough, as you can imagine, go into a season where I feel like I'm losing on all ends and something's going wrong here. And God, would you speak there? And oh my gosh, what do I do about this? We tend to move in seasons, so I don't want you to be naive to the fact that the day of evil is coming. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Some of you are like, be more positive, Pastor. Listen, I'm positive. The day of evil's coming, okay? I'm sure of it. So he says that when the day of evil comes, he's saying put on this armor so that when it comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And then after you've done everything to stand, he says, just stand strong. Can we go back to the first part of this verse? I just want to emphasize something for you. Finally, brothers, be strong. Who's he saying to be strong? Who is it? It's you, right? It's you. Okay, just that's not a trick question. But he says to be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Then he says, put on the full armor. Who has to put the armor on? Okay, it's you. That's right, of God. So that who can take their stand? You can, okay, against the devil's schemes. Notice that he's scheming. He's got stuff going on for our struggle. Whose struggle? Okay, it's ours. That's you. It's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities. Next slide for me, please. And against the powers of the dark world and against spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor. Who has to put it on? Interesting. All right. Where did I go? So that when the day of evil comes, you, right? Who is that? Us may be able to take our stand against the devil. And then he says, I want you to stand. And I just want to point out the fact that God is saying, you're doing something here. You have a responsibility. There's a part that you play in this, I would call it, loosely we'll use this term today, I call it this game. I refer to things as a game. You know what I mean? I talk about hunting, I call it a game. When I talk about ministry and what I do, I like to say to people, I love this game. You know what I'm saying? Like this is what, so in this game, this conflict, this friction that we're in, we have an incredible amount of responsibility in what we do spiritually speaking. So let's speak for a minute about these heavenly realms. Write some things down with me. I want to just identify some truths. There's some things that you must understand. I hope this doesn't freak anybody out, but there's some truths. The first one that I want you to write down is this, that the devil is real. He is not an idea. The devil is not something like that sort of might be out there. It's not something, it's not like this inner part of me and I choose rightly or I choose wrongly. I want to identify right out of the gate very early that the devil is very, very real and he is hard at work trying to consume and destroy our lives. I could go into a deep teaching about that and go deeper, but Revelation 12:9, look at it with me in scripture. It says, this great dragon, the ancient serpent, the devil or Satan, I love how it just kind of classifies him completely, the one deceiving the whole world was thrown down where? To the earth and with all his angels. Like he was cast out, which is interesting. There's three angels. I'm just lightly touch it. We won't go in depth, but there's three angels that are listed by name biblically. There was Gabriel, there was Michael, and there was Lucifer. And these were angels that were listed by name in the Bible. And Gabriel was always, you'll see him scripturally through the Bible. You'll always see him in the context of some sort of prophetic word. He's sort of speaking of things to come. He's always bringing some sort of word, some sort of news. Michael, you'll always see him associated with conflict and with battle and war. He's kind of like the mighty, I don't know if he's in charge of the armies of the Lord, you know, whatever. He's like this mighty, mighty angel scripturally. And then Lucifer was always attached heavenly. Okay, we're talking about in heaven as an angel of God in context of worship. And then somehow, some way, pride rises up in Lucifer. And the Bible declares that he said to himself, I will ascend to the Most High. And there's this incredible scripture where you can just hear the pride in every word that he says. I will be like the Most High, he says, and I will ascend. And he just started to want and desire that praise for himself rather than giving that praise to the Father. And interesting, Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus actually speaks because he was there. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. When God recognized the pride, when he saw the problem, it wasn't like, you know, this big long movie of a conflict. It wasn't like, you ever been in an arm wrestling match where there's tension and it's like, God, it wasn't like that at all. Jesus was like, bam, it was over. Like lightning, he fell. And the Bible says that he threw him out, and then here we receive to the earth is where he comes, and then here we wake up, born honestly into this mess, into a conflict, whether you want to admit that conflict or not, the devil's very real. The second thing that I want you to see is this, that the devil is at war with us. War. I think too oftentimes people sort of see the enemy. I refer to him a lot as the enemy, by the way, enemy Satan, the devil. We see him oftentimes, I think, as the guy that wants to give us like a bad day or a sniffle or a sneeze or, you know, get us to have kind of like an off moment with our wife. But that's I'm going to kind of show you that it's a little more serious in his eyes than that, because 1 Peter 5:8 tells us this. It says, stay alert. And I love the intentionality. There is just like a statement. Notice the explanation point. He's saying, hey, take this seriously. Stay alert and watch out for your great enemy, the devil. And he's identifying who our enemy is. And then he says this, that he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's not trying to give us a hiccup. He's trying to destroy our entire lives. And then the Bible says, and you're going to notice the same verbiage that we were reading in Ephesians 6, stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. And I just find this very interesting. So we are part of this conflict. Another scripture tells us that that Satan comes to kill, he comes to steal, and he comes to, finish it for me if you know it, destroy. That's exactly right. He is very, very serious about this, and he is actually working to just terrorize and destroy your entire life. So not only is he real, we have to understand that he is very much against us. He is very much at war with us to destroy, to devour our lives. The third thing that I want you to see is this, and I think it's important that you understand this, because I think some people kind of blow this one off, that the devil has power. Some power. And that's probably a little scary, wouldn't you admit? Like, that scares me a little bit. Like, man, like, I don't want the guy to have any kind of power. But the Bible tells us, actually, and we're going to go right back to where we just read in Ephesians 6. It says, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, and against, notice what it says, mighty powers. Like, there is a certain power that is coming against our lives, and I think we just have to be aware of some things. So I've got to be aware of the fact that the devil is very much real. He's very much at war with me, and he does, in fact, move with a certain level of power over my lives. There's even scripture, and I could have given you page after page of scripture to support spiritual warfare, but there's one scripture in the Bible that's talking about our anger, and it talks about how it says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, work your issues out as soon as you can, because it says if we don't, that the enemy actually gets, and it uses this verbiage, a foothold in our lives, like a grip on us. He can hold us to a place, and then that anger sort of becomes a root where we can't move from because we've allowed it to pin us down to a place. And this is what Satan is trying to do. This is the kind of power that he has. But write this one down with me too, if you would, because it's important you understand this as well. We got to know that he's real. We got to know that he's at war with us. We have to understand he has some power. But I want you to know this, that the devil is already defeated. Amen. I'm not going to spend a lot of time giving him credit today. I just want you to know, but I wanted to spend enough time to make you aware of the reality of the conflict that we're in, because I'm not going to sit up here and preach about Satan. I'm going to preach about the fact that Joker's already been beat. Come on. Amen. That's right. That's right. So I want to talk to you about that fact that he's been defeated, and then I want to turn the corner with you and give you some application on how you can actually utilize the fact that he's already lost. Like, what does that mean to me? Okay, like when my world's coming undone, tell me how to, like, help me how to deal with that. And we're going to talk about it. But let's look at some scripture with me. If you would, 1 John 4:4, the Bible says, you dear children, he's speaking to those that are in Christ Jesus, those that are born again Christians, those that have said yes to Christ. Like, I don't really know how you want me to, how, you know, like, however that means to you, the clarifying fact is, those of us that are in the family of God, we have a personal relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. That's who he's referring to. You, dear children, are from God, and check it out, have overcome them. Who's them? It's those powers. It's those forces that we read about in Ephesians 6. And it's saying, because you're in the family of God, because you're a child, you're a dear adopted child into God's family, you, the Bible says, have overcome them because, and I love this right here, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And he's referring to Satan because remember, he was cast down to the earth. And he's saying that one that was cast down into the world and thrown into the earth, you have victory over him because you're in Jesus Christ. And I just want to talk a little bit about that because we have way more power than I think many of us know that we have. Many of us are waiting on God to move in and do something amazing. And God, would you fix it? And would you just do something? And I just want to identify the fact that God gave you some authority. And he gave you some power. And he gave you some strength that supersedes the power that the enemy has and the forces that he brings with him. Amen. Now I'm going to read to you, probably this scripture changed my life forever. It's James chapter 4, verse 7. I put it there in your notes. I actually preached my very first sermon on this scripture right here. I was 13 years old, named the sermon. I still have the notes in my office, the original notes that I used. I think my sister was probably the only one. She's on the front row. She's probably the only one here today that was actually there that day in my youth group. And I preached a sermon. I called it Submit to Kill. That was my sermon title, Submit to Kill, man. And this verse, this is how God tricked me into becoming a pastor. I'll tell you that story someday. But I was reading my Bible just trying to be the good, obedient Christian boy. You know, honestly, I'll be really honest with you. I was doing it out of total guilt, complete guilt. I just felt like I should. I'm a Christian. It's the right thing to do. So I just went and opened up my Bible that I had, really cool Bible. Still have that too. It's in my attic. It's about falling to pieces because I preached out of that thing until it wouldn't hold itself together anymore. And I tripped across this verse, and it was the first time in my life I'd ever gotten a revelation. It was like a revelation, meaning like this, the aha moment, like, I saw it for more than the words on the page. And here's what I read. I read that word submit. Submit. It's a big word. It's a really big word. Anybody, UFC fans, you like watching some fighting on Saturday nights late? Yeah, I got a couple of hands. Some of my favorite thing to do is watch a dude get submitted. Yeah, it is. It's one of my favorite things, man. I like to watch people go to sleep. It is more fun than anything. In fact, one time I was watching one of my favorite fighters put another guy in a triangle choke, and I mean, he was tapping out, y'all. I mean, as soon as it got locked in, he was tapping in like 1.5 seconds. So I asked my wife, I said, would you please put me in the triangle choke? I got to know what this feels like, and she did it. And I'm going to tell you right now, she had me. If she wanted to, I'd have been asleep in about 4 seconds. It's amazing how fast the blood flow can stop to your head. Anyway, that's not relevant to my point at all. I was submitted. I was submitted. You watch these UFC guys, and they get held in these holds that they cannot get out of. They've been submitted. Sometimes submission comes because we've been outwilled by someone or something else. But the best way for submission to come is when I purpose in my heart to display it. When I choose to be submissive, to put myself under some authority, that I will submit to you as a leader or as a person, or I will submit to the responsibility that I have. And you can apply this to anything. I will submit to the responsibility I have to be a father to my children. I will submit to the responsibility I have to be a husband to my wife or a pastor to my church. I will make sure that I am submitted. Lord, I will submit to everything that you have and you say and what you desire for my life. I want to be submitted to you. And when we put ourselves in a position of submission, it really changes everything. Because look at what the word says. When we submit ourselves then to God, all of a sudden, it's like an and then, I can resist the devil. And look what he does. He flees. And who does he flee from? From you. I mean, it's look right there. Y-O, it's you. And there's something about when I actually put myself in a position to say, God, I'm all in. At some point, I just feel like somebody in this room needs this. At some point in your life, you're going to have to take all those chips that are in front of you on the table and just shove them to the center and say, okay, God, I'm all in. I'm all in. You can have all of me, every doubt that I have, every concern that I have, every worry and every fear, I don't understand it. I'm just going to push all of it to the center of the table, and I'm telling you that I'm submitted. I am going to go all in, because I want to tell you something. Some of you find yourself in spiritual conflict and find yourselves unsuccessful, and you're not victorious, and you're wondering why, and it's because one foot is in one place while one foot is in the other. And I'm a living testimony of someone who can tell you firsthand from hard experiences and consequences that I still carry to this day, that does not work. It just doesn't work. Some of us find ourselves in spiritual bondage based on the carnal decisions that we make. Well, I can't understand why I can't get past this problem, and you're still the one driving to the club. And I don't understand how I can beat this addiction, and you're still the one buying the product. You're still the one engaged in that relationship. You're still the one that goes to those places. You're still the one that willfully puts yourself in a position to fail and then finds yourself on Sunday morning saying, God, where are you at? And I think God's saying, hey, you have a part to play in this. In order for you to find success in a spiritual way, I need your whole spirit to be fully engaged in what I'm calling you to do. And I just want to tell you that never, it's not like you do this one time and then you're set forever. I find myself constantly having to push more to the center of the table and say, okay, God. And I wish that I could tell you the details of the story in my life that's going on right now, but I can't. But I can tell you this, 2 days ago, I can give you some generalization that 2 days ago, I was in the midst of this major decision that had to be made, and I'm trying to hear from God, and I'm trying to make the best strategic approach, and I'm trying to see how every piece can place, and this thing and that thing, and honestly, losing some sleep over it, hadn't been eating, just kind of feeling the pressure there, and there was something that it was hard for me to see it. It was so hard for me to see it. But there was something that I think I was just holding back on just a little bit. So I'm trying to figure this whole thing out and say, But at the same time, I had something that I was sort of protecting. Well, I'd like to do it without this. If I can hold this and we can make it work like this, then maybe we will. And 2 days ago, maybe 3 days ago, it's Sunday, right? So three days ago, I finally relented. I finally said, okay, whatever. It does make the most sense. It is the easiest thing. And I put that thing on the altar. You remember when God called Abraham to bring his son Isaac to the mountain and place him on the altar? It's interesting to me that God called, I hope I finish on time because I'm off my notes, but God called Abraham to bring Isaac to the mountaintop. Remember this story? And if you don't, I'm going to just catch you up quickly. And he said, I want you to bring your son, and I want you to provide him as a sacrifice before me. It's amazing, Genesis 22, and it's amazing how prophetic it is, by the way, of Jesus Christ, because he says, I want you to take your son, your only son. I actually like how the King James says it, thine only son. So cool, man. I want you to take your only son, and I want you to bring him to me as a sacrifice. And Abraham, who had already been promised and prophesied that he would be the father of many nations, he had already seen the vision from God that said, your offspring will be like the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore, too much for you even to count. And he was already in his old age, and he already had kind of things stacked against him. And then God said, I just want you to take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him on an altar for me on a mountain someplace that I'll tell you about. And Abraham, in his faith and in his willingness to go where God wanted him to go, said, I will push all the chips to the center of the table. I'm fully submitted. I'm all in. And he carries Isaac to the mountain. Interesting thing about the story is that God never wanted Isaac. Because if you know the story, that just as he's raising the knife to sacrifice his son, the angel of the Lord speaks out and stops him. He says, whoa, time out. And then the Bible says that when he looked over his shoulder, there was a ram in the thicket. God had already made the provision. Because here's the reality. Isaac's blood wasn't good enough. God never wanted Isaac. God never wanted Isaac's blood. What God wanted was Abraham's ear. What God wanted was Abraham's heart. Would you go all the way for me? Would you submit fully? Would you trust me enough when it doesn't make any sense in your scenario, in your world? You're battling with the prophecy that you're, was that God that spoke? Did I really hear from him? And you're teeter-tottering left and right. I just want to know if you'll go all the way for me. Would you do it? And then he found out, yes, he would. Now take him off the altar. I never wanted him anyway. And it's interesting to me because 3 days ago I finally said, and I picked up my protection and I put it on the altar and I said, fine. It was probably like that. I'm just going to be honest with you. Fine. You can have it. And amazingly, 2 days later, God said, that's so cool, but I don't want that. take it back. This is the God we serve. I think all God wanted to know is, do you trust me? Will you give me anything I ask for? Or will you just protect your own agenda, protect your own life? And oftentimes, we're working so hard to keep ourselves safe and keep ourselves protected that we are walking ourselves into bondage, spiritually speaking, wondering why we don't have victory. And I just kind of want to point to the verse that said we have to have a heart of submission. We have to be the kind of people that say, God, I'm yours. I'm all in. I'll go the distance. I'll give you anything you want at any point that you want it. I trust you. I will do it your way. I'll do love your way. I'll do relationships your way. I'll do family your way. I'll do my job your way. I'll just do it all your way. Amen. I hope somebody received something good from that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's talk about the conflict and let's talk about how this applies to our own lives. Because the Bible says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war the way the world does. That's cool. It's interesting to know. And then it goes on to say that the weapons that we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, notice this, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. There's a divine power. There's something bigger than you. There's something that's beyond you. There's this divine power that we have the ability to use. So I'm going to give you three things today. I just want to give you three things that you can use in your everyday life to find victory over spiritual situations and conflicts that you find yourself in. Number one, I want you to write this down with me, is the name of Jesus. Amen. The name of Jesus. It is the name that is above every name. It is the highest name. In fact, the scripture says it in Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore, God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. 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 Because names are powerful, aren't they? I mean, cancer is a powerful name. Depression is a powerful name. Debt is a powerful name. Sorrow, shame, powerful names. But there is a name that is above every name. There is a name that supersedes that name. And I just want to encourage you to start making the name of Jesus a regular part of your vocabulary. Who cares who it freaks out? Say the name of Jesus. I think there's a particular challenge on the name of Jesus. I think there's something. There are churches in America today who won't use the name of Jesus because some people find it offensive. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, get offended. Find you another church because we're going to talk about Jesus around here. I'm not going to make an excuse about it. I'm not going to hold back about it because the name of Jesus is the name that's above every name. It is the name that everything hinges on that we have. And I'm just going to tell you right now that you can't even access the Father God that everybody wants this access to all these different ways. There's only one way to get there, and that is Jesus Christ. Because he said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man can access the Father except through me. And I just want to encourage you, make Jesus part of your vocabulary. Use the name of Jesus. Speak the name of Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus. When you're feeling depressed, say the name of Jesus. Begin to repeat. There's something powerful about it. And amazingly, in places we cannot see, in heavenly realms, in spiritual conflict, those problems are taking a knee when you proclaim the name of Jesus, because it is biblical and it is a standard, and they cannot stand against that name. It is too powerful. And when you start proclaiming that name, no matter how strong, no matter how bound, no matter how powerful, that name must bow. It must kneel at the name of Jesus. Our authority is found in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Amen. I remember when I was a kid, you guys ever watch that show, Unsolved Mysteries? Anybody ever remember that show? I used to watch that when I was a kid, and I don't know if you remember the ones where it was like something was haunted. You know what I'm talking about? Like there was like some haunted room or something, and then they would do the whole story. And then at the end, it was so disappointing because they would say, we don't even know why. It's an unsolved mystery, right? And I remember being a kid, and it seems like we would watch that on a regular basis. I don't know, as a family. I just remember multiple times watching the show. And I particularly loved those ones, except it freaked me out And then when everybody's in the front of the house watching the show and I had to go to the bathroom, I was scared to go to the back of the house, man. It gets dark and cold back there. So I would run down the hallway, go to the bathroom, every light that I could find, I'd turn the light on. You know what I'm saying? But I remember I had a tactic. Listen, I had a tactic. I grew up in church, forgive me. But I had a little tactic. And in kids' church, we used to sing this song. And it was J-E-S-U-S. He's my Lord and King, J-E-S-U-S, my everything. Aren't you glad I don't lead worship at Church on the Rock? I would run to the bathroom, I would flip the lights on, and I would sing that song the whole time. Because even as a little kid freaked out by unsolved mysteries on the TV, I knew that Jesus' name reigned supreme in my bathroom, and I proclaimed it boldly and confidently. Amen. You might need to do the exact same thing. Chant those letters, say that name, Jesus, Jesus, amen. Number two, it's an amazing weapon that we have is the Word of God. It's the Word of God, the Bible. The Bible is such a powerful and amazing resource to every single believer. And it tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 that it says that the Word of God is alive and it is active. Like this is, I just want to declare that this is not some old stale book that, you know, that was written years ago and you know, it just tells nice stories. That's not true. This book is alive and it is active and it moves and it cuts, the Bible says. It's sharper than any two-edged sword and it gets down to the innermost part of who we are. It's a divider and it's a separator. It's an exposer. It shows us things that we would never see without the power and truth of that word being activated inside of our lives. We've got to have God's word deep down in our hearts. In fact, the Psalms say that if I hide God's word in my heart, I might not sin against him, David said. There's just something amazingly powerful about God's word. Every answer to every question we could ever have, no matter how complex, can be found right here today, relevantly to your life in God's word. In fact, in Ephesians 6, and I keep going there, but in Ephesians 6, just a portion of that armor that he speaks of, put on that full armor, there's a portion in verse 17 where he says, and take the helmet of salvation. I just find it so interesting, by the way, that it starts there. It just put on that salvation first, gain access to the family first, and the sword of the Spirit, which is, and I love the clarity, I just love the fact that we don't have to assume what that is, which is the Word of God. In fact, in all of the armor of God that we are given and described in Ephesians 6, all of it is defensive except for the Word of God. It's the only thing, in fact, that has any kind of offense to it whatsoever is God's Word. It's actually something that we can use to advance and to go forward. So here, I just want to give you some simple strategy that find Scripture in this book, the Bible, that applies to your situation and memorize it. Write it and put it in your pocket. Lipstick it on your mirror. Make it your anthem and make it your cry. To which, I hear people say, yeah, but I don't really know God's word. To which I respond and say, there's this incredible resource that's available today. It's kind of new, and maybe you've heard of it. It's called Google. I'm probably the only preacher in America that's telling people, like, can I get on, I'm going to get up on a soapbox 1 minute, just 1 minute, and then I'm going to get right off of it, okay? But blows my mind, man, when people, I'll talk to people sometimes, and they'll be like, I'll say, hey, man, what'd you do this weekend? Man, I rebuilt the engine of a 350 small block Chevy this weekend. That's crazy. I didn't even know you had tools. Well, I don't, but I watched a 12-minute video on YouTube, and I got the job done. How many of you guys do all kinds of stuff you didn't know how to do, but you Googled it? When you can't remember, what was that actor's name from that movie? You know, the one movie. You can't remember his name. You can't remember the movie or what year was produced. What are you going to do? Google. Hello. And it's like this resource that we will use for everything except our spirituality. And I just want to throw a disclaimer, because I'm not saying that every article that pops up in the results is going to be accurate, but the Bible's accurate. And I do it all the time in study and preparation. Scripture's about spiritual warfare. It's amazing. I mean, y'all think I know God's word. I just use the internet. I'm just telling y'all right now. Might be a little of both, but the internet helps me learn more. And I'm simply saying, hey, I'm battling depression. Scriptures about depression. Enter. There's a resource that I use on a weekly basis. It's called openbible.com. Open Bible. You should, if you're interested, you should write it down. You can go to openbible.com. You can type in any phrase, any word, and it will just pull up a plethora of scriptures related to that one context, to that one specific area. It'll just pull it up for you. And I'm just suggesting, Church on the Rock, that you use the resources that we have to our advantages. One of the things that I used to do, and I'm closing, I'm going to wrap this thing up. One of the things that I used to do when I was a student in high school, I like to stick my hands in my pockets. I do it all the time. I'm just a pocket. That's why I hated the Army, because they would get onto me. For anybody know what I'm talking about? Any soldiers out there? Yeah, man. I'm like, well, don't put the pockets on my pants. Anyway, that was the other soapbox, but I'm off of that one too. So, I'm having fun now. So, I put my hands in my pockets all the time. I walk like this sometimes. I lean, you know. I'm a guy that constantly puts my hands in my pockets. So, one of my strategies as a student when I was in high school is I would find me a verse. And it might just be a verse that was I wanted to memorize, or it might have been kind of an anthem verse for me. It might have been speaking directly to something that I was dealing with. But I would write that verse out on a piece of paper really neatly, and then I would cut that thing and fold it perfectly, because I'm weird like that. And then I would stick that thing in my pocket. I would stick it in my right front pocket. And my deal with myself was this, that every time I stick my hands in my pocket and I touch that paper, every time, I will pull out that piece of paper and read that verse. And that was, I didn't care where I was or who was around me. I would do it every single time. It was just my strategy to have God's word in front of me. I just want God's word to be steadily coming into my spirit. And oftentimes those verses that I would stick down in my pocket are verses that I have by memory today. They're hidden away in my heart, and I can pull them out of a file of my mental bank and use them when I need to. But there's this incredible power that God's word gives us that we can use. It is our weapon to back up the enemy and say, I don't think so, man. You might make me want to feel like I'm less than. You might want to be speaking in my life and feel like, no, God couldn't forgive you, Lord. But I know 1 John 1:9 says that if I confess my sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. So stop bringing up yesterday to me, enemy, because I know what God's word says about me, and I will stand in his truth. Even if I still feel bad about what I did, I'm going to stand on his truth, because I know I have access to him, and I know that he hears me, and I know that he sees me. We can use God's word in our lives as weapons and as strength to go against the enemy when he's telling lies in your ear. You just tell the truth right back in his. Amen. Amen. And lastly, and we're going to close right here. Number three, a resource we have is the power of the cross. In fact, the other weapons that I've talked about, the name of Jesus and the word of God, they hinge on this right here. Everything, in my opinion, everything hinges on the cross for our spiritual well-being. Revelation 12:1 says, they triumphed, they being a church, Christian people, that they had victory. They triumphed over him, being Satan, by the blood. I just want you to notice the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. It was his shed blood on the cross that gained them the victory, that gave them the ability to have a winning moment. It was the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They didn't notice the submission. Notice the commitment. They didn't love themselves so much as to shrink back from death. They were willing to pay the absolute ultimate price. And what I want to say to you this morning, church, is this, that it is the power of the cross that gives us any place to even stand on in front of the enemy, to even stand against. It's because of the power of the cross. I've been adopted into a family that gives me certain rights in front of the enemy, where I have a level of commitment. You can come on. I've got a level of commitment, and I've got a level of victory, not because of how great I am, but because of what he already did for me. How many of you parents have ever said to one of your kids, hey, go tell your brother and sister it's time for dinner? And then a few minutes later, you're like, where's everybody at? Well, I don't know. Did you tell them? Well, yeah. Okay. All right. Go tell them, Mom said. it's time for dinner. Little feet come rolling into the kitchen, don't they? There's a certain sense of authority. And I'm not speaking out of my own authority. I'm speaking out of mom's authority. Mom said, you better get in here. It's time for dinner. And they understand that if they don't listen to you, it don't matter. You're their annoying brother. But if they don't listen to her, there's probably something going to go wrong in my life. I'm going to make sure I show up to the dinner table. And I think what we've been given is God saying, you're part of my family. You belong in this household. You are identified by my name. And when you stand in front of the enemy with your issues and all the stuff going on you, you tell him, I said so. Use my word. It was the cross that made you a part of this house to begin with. It was Jesus' blood being shed for you that made you have the authority to use my name, to use my word. So you go tell him what I said, because I've already won this battle. Amen. Amen. We're going to jump ahead of your notes, and I'm going to jump ahead of you too, Mosley. I didn't tell you this. I'm sorry, but go. Let's fill in that last blank. Let's fill in that last blank and throw Romans 8:37 on the screen for me. In all these things, I want you to write this down. We are more than conquerors. Some of you feel like you're walking in defeat, but you're identified to be more than victorious, more than a conqueror. And that's because of what the Bible says in Romans. Can you throw that one up there, 8:17? In all these things, we are more than conquerors. How? It's through him. It's through him who loves. It's through the power of the cross. Now, not in your notes, throw up Romans 8:35 for me, if you would, because I want to go backwards. Like, okay, in all these things, what things? What things? Notice, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? I mean, that's about as bad a list as you're going to find. I'll bet that most of our struggles can fall under one of those categories. And Paul's saying, is there anything? Is there any circumstance in life? Is there any battle that we face? Is there any hardship or any struggle that could ever separate us from the power that God gave us and the love that he's given to us? No. Because through the cross of Jesus Christ, we've become more than conquerors. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, please. I want to ask this question. I ask this question every single Sunday morning. But I hope and pray today that there's somebody who says, all right, I'm pushing all the chips in front of me to the center of the table, and I'm just going to take a step of faith. This whole thing, this entire relationship between you and the Father starts by faith in Jesus Christ. And some of you need to take that step. You keep waiting to understand it. You keep waiting on the preacher to prove it. You keep waiting for everything to be lined out and make perfect sense. And I'm just telling you right now, it's not how this thing works. It starts by faith. It starts by saying, okay, I trust that you know what I don't know. You can do what I can't do. You can take me where I could never go on my own. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed on the cross for you to take that step and to understand who the Father is. I want to give you that invitation today. If that's you this morning, you're here and you say, yeah, okay, I'm taking that step of faith. I'm going to say yes to Jesus Christ today. If that's you, I'm telling you, you're going to make the greatest decision that you've ever made, with every head bowed and every eye closed. If that's you, I'm not going to call you to the front. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not interested in embarrassing people. I don't think that's right, actually. But if that's you, I'm going to ask you to be bold enough. Just, would you raise your hand? Would you say, count me in, Pastor, on that prayer? Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Life change is happening. I'm going to tell you right now, it's the most beautiful sight in my eyes is to see this moment right here where people say, yes. I'm going to say yes and take that step of faith. You can put those hands down. Thank you so much. I want every voice, if you would, every voice in the auditorium, please, all of us, to say this prayer with me. If you raise your hand, I just want you to make sure when you say this prayer that it is coming from your heart. I'm going to help you with the words, but make it come from your heart. Just say, dear Jesus, I want to give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of unrighteousness. Make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you stand and give God praise? We know that some people said yes to Jesus Christ. Come on, give me. I mean, it's your best. Amen. 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 As we close, Mosley, will you please? I'm sorry. I see you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Will you throw that one on the? It's in your notes. Throw this verse on the screen for me, if you would. Here's how we're going to close the day right here. The Bible says, if any person, I want you to see it with your own eyes, if any person is in Christ Jesus, the Word of God, which is true, tells us that old things have passed away, and behold, it's my favorite word, behold, like, surprise, all things are made new. I want you to know, those of you that raised your hand and made that life change decision, that word is true in your life today by the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So as we close, here's all I want to say. Inside your worship guide is that connection card. It was that kind of index card that was stuffed in the middle. If you said yes to Jesus today, I'm going to just beg you, would you please write that, write your information down. Let us check the box that said, yes, I committed my life today. It's not because we're not going to bug you. We want to give you some stuff for free. I want to send you some things in the mail for free. And then we just want to invite you into a journey. We just want to help you. We want to help you. Nobody can do this alone. Nobody. So we just want to take a journey with you and help you with that. So I'm just going to ask you to fill that out. Listen, if you want to be baptized, we're going to be doing that next month. Next month, we're going to be doing some baptisms. So I need you to register. In fact, we're probably going to do it. I don't even know what the first week of August is. It's going to be that Sunday. All right? It's going to be that day. Whatever Sunday that is, like August 3rd or 6th or... You got calendars. Google it. Check that out. If you're interested in that, the connection card. Connection card. How can I know? Also, we do a connect class. If you're interested to know more about us and, hey, how can I get involved, or how can I know what you're about or what you believe, that happens on the first Sunday. That will also happen. I'm pretty sure it's August 6th. That will also happen on August 6th. Thank you for the confirmation. I would love for you to pre-reg. All that stuff's on the connection card. All that information, you can do it all right there on the connection card. Would love to know you. If you're looking for a church home, we just want to invite you to this one. If you don't like this one, there's so many great churches in this community. I'll tell you 10 to go visit. I promise you. They're good, and you'll grow in God there. Amen. All right, we're going to pray over giving. Thank you all, by the way, for the way that you give and the way that you respond. I want you to know we're so aware of the growth that we're seeing, and we are making a plan of what our next steps are as a church. Our 11 a.m. is every bit this full, if not a little more. So we are praying and seeking God on what's next for us and what that looks like. So, amen. Thank you for just supporting and being a part. Can I pray over you? Amen. I'm talking too long. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this great day. And Father, I thank you for these incredible people. Father, I pray that as we proceed into our week this week, Lord God, that you would help us to be real, Father God, and understand. I pray that we would walk in full submission to who you are so that we can have victory over the enemy. Lord God, help us to use the name of Jesus. God, to use the word of God and understand the power of the cross so that we can gain the victory that you've already given us, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Help us to stand firm and stay strong, I pray. Father, I pray for every person that made a life change decision today that you would bless their lives and move in them like a flood. I pray that we would respond appropriately and serve them well, Father, in Jesus' name. And God, for those that give, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, you would bless them the way that your word promises us that you will. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys are awesome. God bless you.